there. You'll get run over.
Oh, yes, it is. It's great to see. Hey, while I'm here, this is the book. Please check it before you leave. The 30th of June is our cutoff date, so we're going to go to print after that. So if you've not done a address sheet or looked at the one in here, and you know if it you approve it and stuff, just be sure and sign on the back of it, and then that way we know that everything's been looked at, and then we'll use that information to generate our address or phone directory, or church directory, I should say. And anyway, we look forward to getting that out to you guys. It's been a long work and effort to get together. So anyway, hey, let's pray. Father in heaven, I just so thank you for the privilege that you've given us through the blood of Christ to be able to come to you and to pray and just seek your face. Father, I just thank you for this group from Teen Challenge. I thank you for the program that is working there. And Father, it's so needed in our society. There's the issues with addiction. And Lord, I just thank you for that. The Lord, you provide an alternative, a way to be free from that addiction. Father, I just want to lift up our pastors, and I just thank you for them. Put a hedge of protection about them. Take care of them. Father, I thank you for our visitors that are here this morning. And Father, I just pray for our nation. I just pray that you'd give our leaders wisdom and help them to call on you for guidance. And Father, I just pray also that you just continue to bless this church. Help us to be a light to the people in our community and beyond. Thank you for our missionaries and the opportunity to be able to just join in a small portion of that great opportunity of supporting them and helping them in some way from here, that to meet the needs to be able to keep them in the locations that you have them serving. Father, thank you now for your blessings. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. And thank you for the blood. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right. I'm going to introduce Teen Challenge in a minute, but we have two special guests here this morning. Not only the Teen Challenge group is one special guest, but we got, I don't even know where he went, Cowboy Mike Anderson from the frozen tundra of North Dakota. There he is! From this frozen tundra of North Dakota is here with us. So he doesn't want to say a few words, but make sure you say hi to him, harass him for a while. Especially if you've been in this church for a while, you remember Mike, and he used to harass you, so I'm sure you can harass him back. So, but Teen Challenge is with us. We're going to start with a video, and so that will introduce the program, and then they will take it from there. So thank you guys for being here.
If addiction was a country, it would be the fourth largest nation on earth. 270 million people are currently in bondage to some form of addiction. The devastating effects are destroying countless lives and families.
The Hope Northwest Family of Ministries answers the needs of our communities with the hope of freedom found in Jesus Christ. We have a vision to put hope within reach of every addict in the Northwest. Pacific Northwest Adult and Teen Challenge began providing recovery services in 1983 and now serves Oregon, Washington, Idaho, Montana, and Alaska. When students enroll in our residential program, they put their life on hold, take a detour from their old way of living, and invest a year into learning what it means to have hope and freedom.
You know, I look forward to the future. I have hope for the first time.
Studied the Bible. I learned what grace was. I rebuilt a relationship with my family, and it really opened the door to restoration and getting my children back.
TC Resale and Donation Thrift Stores provide an environment for Adult and Teen Challenge students to learn valuable skills and contribute towards their own recovery. Our stores provide roughly half of the funding that sustains our programs, and they offer quality used clothing, furniture, and household goods in a friendly environment.
I know how important this thrift store is for the ministry and for the program, for these young men and for the young women involved in the program. But this is overall the best job I've ever had the privilege of working, because it's not a job to me.
Our staff and students deliver hope beyond the walls of our residential programs by partnering with schools, jails, churches, and organizations that bring a message of hope to those living in the margins. Life Renewal offers outpatient treatment by certified alcohol and drug counselors to offer fresh perspective to address the underlying causes of life-controlling issues.
We can sort of take back the power from those things that have maybe held us up in the past, that we haven't been comfortable talking about and maybe haven't explored a whole lot of, in order to just learn and grow from that.
We also partner with Teen Challenge Ministries across the globe by sending teams to serve and train, as well as raise money through our thrift store donation jars. We need your help to put hope within reach. You can be a part of the solution by donating your time, talent, and resources, and participating in our events. If you know someone who needs hope and freedom, please give us a call. Together, we can put hope within reach.
Good morning. My name is Cheryl Lordson, and I'm the director at the Missoula Women's Teen Challenge Center. And I just want to say thank you to Pastor Jeff for having us come out this morning and share about our ministry. And before we get started, I would like to pray. So, Lord, we just come before you this morning, Lord, just in awe of you and who you are and your faithfulness in each one of our lives, Lord. And, Lord, that you never, ever want to let one of us go, but that you faithfully pursue us, Lord. And, Lord, I know that each person that is sitting in this room today is not here by accident. They are here because you have ordained them to be here and to hear the words today, Lord. And so, Lord, I pray that our words and our testimony would just glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to share with you some statistics this morning. I know that I'm sure it's all over the news, the opioid epidemic that we have in our nation, and even closer to home here in Missoula. And we see every single day something in the news. One in seven Americans struggle with substance abuse. And it's actually more than that, because these are people that are self-reporting. So I know that number is definitely higher than that. 67% of all U.S. families are struggling with active addiction, 67%. 80% of heroin users started with a prescription painkiller. 442 billion is being spent annually to deal with drug and alcohol abuse in our nation. Approximately 174 deaths happen each day in the United States. And here in our state of Montana, one in 10 Montanans is dependent on alcohol or drugs. We have the highest death rate in the nation due to alcohol. Meth-related violations are up by 500% in the last few years. Two-thirds of all foster care placement is related to drug abuse, and meth accounts for half of those. We clearly have an epidemic in our nation. I want to read this quote from USA Today. It says, more than 175 Americans will die today of drug overdose. The daily death toll from drug overdoses is like a 737 crashing and killing all the passengers on board. If plane crashes like that happened a few days in a row, we'd shut the skies down and figure out the problem, said former Mississippi Attorney General Mike Moore. But it's not a plane crash. It's America's opioid epidemic, one that unchecked could claim 1 million lives by 2020. So the world doesn't know how, they look at this and they don't know what to do. They're trying. We have so many secular programs out there. We have 30, 60-day, 90-day treatment plans. What they don't see is this is not an addiction crisis. It's a crisis of hopelessness. Too many people living lives without hope, disconnected from community, trying to live with trauma, wounds, and devastation that the world has brought to them. Nobody starts out to be an addict. It's always coming from a place of a deep wound and healing that they're trying to do on their own. They're trying to fill that God-shaped hole in their heart. But we have God, right? The Ministry of Adult and Teen Challenge knows what the answer is. And the answer is Jesus Christ. Because the only way you can have true, lasting healing and transformation is through the power of Jesus Christ. That's it. And we know that. And we have the honor and blessing of seeing that happen every single day in our center. Every day we get to watch God move and we get to see these beautiful women have breakthrough. So I know that most of you in this room are familiar with Teen Challenge, because I know that there's a lot of you that support our ministry and have for many years, and we just thank you so much for your faithful support of our ministry and these women. We have 7 men's centers, 3 women's centers, and 1 adolescent center throughout the Pacific Northwest. So we have a men's center in Alaska. We have men's centers in Washington and Oregon. And we have an adolescent center in Boise, Idaho. And the Missoula Women's Center has been here for 20 years. Long time. We have developed a comprehensive plan to address the addiction and opioid crisis. This is our 5-year vision plan, and I'm very excited about this because our goal is to put hope within reach of every addict. And as you all know, not every addict can come into a residential facility, nor will we have the capacity for that, because there's, I believe, 19 million addicts in our nation right now. So what we have in place is we are working to get a program called Life Renewal, which provides 3 to 4 months of intense inpatient counseling. So when somebody comes into our program, they will have the first three to four months of their program will be doing group therapy and individual counseling, and then they'll move into the discipleship component. And that will also be offered to people in the public coming in off of the streets. So we're hoping to have that in place here in Missoula by the end of 2020. So we would have a facility available where the women would go to get counseling, and then there would be counseling available for people coming in off the streets. We also are going to be launching a program called Living Free. And that is where we're going to partner with all the churches throughout the state of Montana. We're going to come alongside them. We're going to train them. It's similar to Celebrate Recovery program, but it's different in that it addresses very specifically life-controlling issues. So not just addiction, but pornography, gambling, marital affairs, healing for all of those things. And we're going to partner with the churches and offer that, because not everybody can come into a residential program. But if we do this, then we can help people in the community. And we know that there are so many pastors in our community that their hearts are just breaking because they have people in their congregation that they want to help. And they don't have the capacity to do that, the resources to do that. So we want to come alongside them and provide that. And I'm very excited about that. We are also looking at improving our aftercare and transitional housing. And so that is something that weighs heavily on my heart, that when these women get done with our program, oftentimes they don't have a place to go. They can't go home because it's not safe. The statistics show if they go back to the same environment that they came from, the chances of relapse are incredibly high. So we want to be able to help them and provide transitional housing for them. And I know that God is going to open the doors for that in our community. It's very important to do that. So that's kind of what the vision is over the next several years to get in place. And we need you to help with that. If I'm talking about that and God is like putting something on your heart, if you're feeling like, man, I want to get involved, come talk to me. Let me know. Because we can't do it without people coming alongside and helping us in that. I always like to come up here and share just a little snippet of what the program looks like and what these women go through day to day. Because you all know they're in, you know, at a recovery center, and they live there. But oftentimes people are, you know, like, well, what does their day look like, Cheryl? So these women walk through our doors, and it takes a lot of courage to do that. I have so much admiration and love for these women because they walk through those doors, and that's the hardest thing that they've done. And then within 2 months, you see this transformation process, and oftentimes they don't even look like the same person. They look so different. And I am so blessed to be able to watch that transformation happen. But they start out the day at 6:30 in the morning doing devotionals in their classroom. And if they don't come on time, they lose coffee for the morning. So we have a little motivation there, right, guys? But yeah, so they do devotions from 6:30 to 7. Then they're released. They go get ready for the day. They have breakfast 7:40 to 8. 8 o'clock, they're back in the classroom from 8 to 9, working on their classroom curriculum that we have. 9 o'clock, everybody circles up in the front of the center, and we pray. And half of the house goes to the thrift store and works there, and the other half stays home. And they do the household chores. And we might have a ministry day where we're going to go out in the community and serve in some way. We might have a work experience day. Right now, they're doing a lot of yard work because we have a big facility to maintain and a garden. But so they do that for the day. They eat lunch at noon. Then they're back in the classroom or doing whatever work that they've been assigned. 3 o'clock, they do snack. 5 to 6, they exercise. We have a wonderful walking path out back that the ladies can use. In the wintertime, they stay inside and exercise, but they exercise 5 to 6. At 6:15, the rest of the ladies come back from the thrift store. They have dinner. Dinner's from 6:15 to 7:15. They do chores. And at 7:30, we do chapel or Bible study, or they do study hall. And then 8:30 to 9 is free time. And then they're in their rooms and lights out about 9:30. So as you can see, it's a very structured environment. There's not a lot of free time. It's very structured. And it's that way for a reason, because that's what we need in order to be successful in this program. But one of the things that I just so admire is we have women in our program that are moms and that are wives that have stepped outside of their life for a year. We have some women in our program that are close to 60 years old. And I think about the courage that it takes to come and do that. And I'm not doing that to embarrass you guys. I'm just saying, if you could imagine coming in at that point in your life into a program where you have to live in a room with 3 other women and somebody is telling you what to do every minute of your day, that is not something that's easy to do. And I just so admire them for taking this step and being committed to doing it. It takes a lot of courage to do this and to have hope, to step into it and believe that God loves them and they start to learn their worth and their value and their identity in Christ and not how the world has defined them, right? Because the world has defined them and the enemy has stolen from them and stolen their dreams and their hope. And we get to watch them get those dreams back. And what I love is oftentimes, you know, God gives us all special, unique gifts. And a lot of times they've either forgot what those gifts are or they never were able to realize them. And we get women that come into our program and they find out that they can sing or they can write or they can paint and draw. And it's just a beautiful thing to watch that healing process and watch, you know, how God just brings that out in them. It's amazing, you guys. It's just amazing. We at Teen Challenge, our mission is to put hope within reach. And the world defines hope as a feeling of expectation and a desire for a certain thing to happen. But biblical hope expects it to happen. And not only expects it to happen, is confident it will happen. There is a moral certainty that the good we expect and the desire will be done. It's not, oh, I hope it will happen. It's we know it will happen because we serve a faithful and sovereign God who says it will. And that's what these women learned. And I want to just say Romans 15:13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. And that's what happens for these women. It's hard, hard work, but they have hope for the future. And so I could stand up here, you guys, and I could talk all day about this program and these beautiful women. But their testimonies are what you're here to hear because they're powerful. So I want to ask Megan to come up. And Megan has been in our program, 9 months now, honey? Is it 9 months. What I love about Megan's story is when I was at Teen Challenge 4 years ago, I worked there for a while. Megan came in, and she left within 2 weeks. And so when I started back as the director and saw her walk through the doors again, it was the most amazing thing, you guys, to see. Because it's heartbreaking to watch people leave and walk out the door. But to see her come back and be ready is just, it's amazing. So this is the first time that Megan's going to share her testimony, and I'm sure you're nervous, honey, so let me pray over you. Come here. So, Lord, we just come alongside Megan, and, Lord, I just ask that you just pour out your peace over her, Lord. Lord, that she would be confident in her story and what you have done in her life, Lord. And so I just ask that you give her peace in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hi, my name is Megan. I'm 30 years old, and I was raised in South Florida. Most of my childhood I don't remember, but what I do remember is that my parents fought all the time. My parents worked a lot to provide a good lifestyle for me and my brother. They fought all the time. I just said that, sorry. While I was in middle school, they ended up getting divorced. At this point in time, my grandmother also died of lung cancer and emphysema. I ended up losing interest in all things. My dad ended up getting married and divorced 2 more times, and this was very hard for me to go through. Early on, I learned the default coping skill of detaching. I had a lot of bitterness and resentment and was suffering a lot. I felt like I had to be tough for my mom, who asked for none of this, and I also wanted to be there for my dad and feel loved and accepted by him. Neither of my parents were raised with the knowledge of Christ, and I believe that they did the best they knew how with the love that they were given. At some point, everyone seemed to move on in my family but me, which eventually led me down a path of addiction that lasted longer than a decade. I coped with my pain by using, and I lived to use. I ended up finding my drug of choice, which was heroin, which it numbed me just enough to coast through life and never feel really any real raw emotions. I ended up not caring about anyone or anything. And this is where my journey became its darkest. I ended up going in and out of 30, 60, 90 treatment centers, only to fall short in my attempts to stay sober. Nothing worked. Jail was a constant for me, catching charge after charge. And because I could not stay clean in my own strength, I just came to terms that a drug addict was all I was ever going to be. I overdosed 4 different times, only to come to be angry that I was not successful and still alive. I ended up putting myself in a lot of high-risk situations. Unfortunately, part of my story is being raped and stabbed. I was slowly killing myself and destroying my family, and the thought of killing myself a different way became ever present in my mind, fantasizing different ways I could do it successfully this time. I thought it would be a solution to giving my family rest and peace of mind. But praise God that he had a different plan for my life. On August 30th, 2018, I got arrested for distribution charges, and I was finally safe from myself. I felt more peace this time than I ever felt before. I thank God that he loved me the way that I was, but he refused to leave me that way. When I reached the bottom of my life, God was there waiting for me. I was broken. I had no more excuses and nowhere to turn. I did not realize Jesus was what I wanted until Jesus was all I had left. God bailed me out with his son's blood, and now I get to walk through the fire and face all my fears. I was court-ordered to a Dalton Teen Challenge, and since then I've grown so much. One verse that really speaks to me is John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I now know what true unconditional love is. My sorrows have been traded for joy. My suffering has been traded for peace, and God is using me in ways that I never thought possible. I have been cured by the blood of the Lamb. I no longer have any cravings for drugs or any substances of any kind. He's delivered me from this. My family is so proud and supportive, and this is such a blessing because of what God has done in my life. I have so many hopes and dreams, and I plan on doing a mission trip when completing this program and enrolling in school. I thank God every day for him plucking me out of the pits that I was in, and I'm so proud to say that I know I'm a daughter of the Most High.
So, Lord, I just want to I just want to come alongside Megan and lift her up, Lord. And, Lord, I just ask that you just, Lord, that you would just bless her today for having the courage to come up here and speak and share her story, Lord. We pray that you would be glorified in this story, that there's someone here today that needed to hear this testimony. And, Lord, I just ask, pray protection around Megan. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you. Thanks, Lord. So next you're going to hear from Elizabeth, Tara, and Elaine. So ladies, if you want to come up. They're going to give you guys a short testimony. And Elizabeth is here with her family today and her beautiful children. And she is getting ready to complete the program in a couple of months. And she is one of the people that I just really admire for stepping away from her family and her marriage to allow God to work in her life. And it's just been an honor to watch her grow. And Tara, she's been in our program just a few months, but God is already working miracles in bringing her family together. And we are seeing restoration just almost every day, just that growing and that blessing. And Elaine, she's been in our program for how long have you been in now? 9 months? Yep. And Elaine is one of those ladies that's a little older that I said takes a lot of courage. Sorry, honey. Don't be ashamed. And I watch her every day, and she spurs me on, because I watch her and think, man, if she could be in here and doing this, you know, I shouldn't have any excuses for anything. So I just really admire all of these ladies. So,
what is reality? Reality is getting divorced, feeling hurt, humiliated, rejected, angry, and emotionally abused. My biggest fear of becoming a single parent was coming true. Reality is, liking alcohol the first time I tried it, it's numb my emotions. Alcohol was my constant companion, always there for me, no matter what. And later on, I started adding the pain pills. Reality is pushing everybody away, my friends, my family. Then I felt more lonely and isolated than ever before, especially when I realized they all went on with their lives. That is reality for me.
Reality is growing up in a family held hostage by mental illness and addiction. And I felt completely lost and misplaced when my parents divorced when I was 8. Reality is, in looking for belonging, I married a man who had promised me the world, only to soon find out that that meant his world, his way, and his people. Reality is bringing 3 baby boys into a world of alcohol and abuse, a 17-year nightmare, more than a dozen rehabs, countless hospital and jail stays, a huge long path of destruction and broken hearts, and a mom whose only hope was in the trigger of a gun. How do I know this is reality? It's because this was my reality.
Reality is finding a way of escaping from the brokenness of your childhood by losing yourself to drugs and alcohol at the age of 14. Reality is carrying 3 children to term and medically overdosing with every one of them, praying that somehow God would save them from the mother who could not. Reality is living in a land of addiction that's silent, where nobody close to you knows that the weight, the unbearable weight of shame and guilt that you wake up to every morning is only temporarily relieved by a steady stream of narcotics and stimulants. How do I know this is reality? Because this was reality for me.
The truth is, God has renewed my mind and my soul. I feel happier and more free than I ever have. The truth is, I am a child of God. Jesus did die on the cross for our sins. And I truly am a daughter of the Most High. The truth is, I am 59 years old. I entered Teen Challenge September 20th, 2018. I've been there 9 months. Getting to know the Lord again has been the highlight of my whole life. And that's the with Jesus by my side, I can do anything.
The truth is that God is still in the business of performing miracles, because I am one. The truth is that God is using my life and my story to save lives and give hope to the hopeless. And the truth is that I'm royalty. We are all royalty. I'm the daughter of a king. I mean, how awesome is that? And, gosh. I'm sorry. That he is using my story to save lives. And that I am the daughter of a king. And, that I'm spoiled by the Lord and the love of the Lord and the riches of that King.
I'm just not going to look at you. The truth is, it doesn't matter the home that we've come from. We will all inevitably lose ourselves to something unless we find ourselves in Christ. The truth is that sometimes we get things we don't deserve, and with God sometimes we get things, or we don't get things that we do deserve. Not only were all 3 of my children born healthy, but they are now flourishing. It's incredible. Job chapter 42 and verse 2 states that God can do all things, and no purpose of his can be thwarted. And I know that this is true, because God came in and he saved the life that I was trying to end. He gave my husband and I every ounce of courage and strength that it has taken to make the hardest decision of our lives, the decision to separate our family for an entire year for the sake of following after him. He's provided an army of people who now prayerfully and financially engage with us because they believe in these truths too. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth,
and the truth shall set you free."
So I pray after they do their testimony, because it takes a lot of courage, and I just don't want the enemy to speak any lies to them when they're done, because that's kind of how he works. And so we're going to come against that. So, Lord, we do. We come before you, and I just lift up Elaine and Tara and Elizabeth to you, Lord. And, Lord, thank you so much that you are a God that just faithfully pursues us and never lets us go. And, Lord, I just am just amazed at the work that you're doing in each one of these women's hearts, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that you would just pour a special blessing over them today as they stepped out and courageously shared. And I pray a hedge of protection around them, that no lies of the enemy would be able to permeate them, Lord, that they would just fall to the ground in the name of Jesus. Amen. I just realized, I'm sorry, Haley. This is Haley. She's our outreach coordinator. And as she was coming up, she's going to introduce the next video. But one of the things that I forgot to mention that is something that's really an amazing opportunity that's been given to us at the center, and that is we have been given a $25,000 matching grant from the Gianforte Family Foundation. And this grant is going to be used to buy two vehicles for our center. Currently we have two vans and a Chevy Impala, and they're all well over 15 years old, and they break down at least once a month. In fact, we had the van break down in the middle of the winter storm coming back from St. Ignatius this winter. So we desperately need a new van, and we so far have raised $11,000 to date. We don't have very much further to go. So that if that is something that you would like to partner in with us, would you please see me after church? And we have some flyers for that. But I really wanted to give an opportunity to share that with you. It's pretty amazing how God is blessing us in that way.
Thanks, Cheryl. Well, in just a minute, you guys are going to see our sponsorship video, and then Kelsey, our development coordinator, is going to come and talk with you about more details. But I just wanted to encourage you to, as you're watching the video, as you're listening to Kelsey speak, to just be praying about whether or not this is something the Lord is calling you to engage in. I love this program because it's a way for the greater body of Christ and the greater community to really link arms with our women at our center. It's a unique opportunity, and it's a way to really invest in the kingdom of God and in their lives specifically. So as you watch this video, as you listen to Kelsey, if you have any promptings, please come see myself, Cheryl, or Kelsey, and we'll tell you more about the program and ways to get involved with it.
Pacific Northwest Adult and Teen Challenge is a faith-based drug and alcohol recovery program with the power to change lives.
When I was a teenager, I was rebellious and started using drugs experimentally, which ultimately led to a 13-year addiction to opiates. After countless tries to quit on my own and get my life back, I decided to enroll myself into Adult and Teen Challenge in Portland. I've learned that God forgives us no matter what. He has amazing grace, and ultimately He forgives you for everything. I now have high hopes for my future. I have my life back and a great career opportunity ahead of me.
Graduating from Adult and Teen Challenge is not an easy accomplishment. This is a life-changing discipleship program. Our students are faced with spiritual battles on a daily basis, and every encouragement makes a difference. We want to invite you to be a part of their success. We want to invite you to become a student sponsor. When you sponsor a student at Adult and Teen Challenge, you're partnering with an individual who is becoming a new creation. When you sign up, we will assign you to one of our students and send you a photo and profile of the student that you will be sponsoring. Every few months, you will receive an update about your student's progress so you can continue to pray for them and see that beyond your financial support, you are helping to change their life. You'll have opportunities to meet and encourage your student at Adult and Teen Challenge events, and when your student completes the program, you will receive a personal invitation to attend and celebrate at their completion ceremony. Most of all, we urge you to write and encourage your student. Your letters will remind them that someone cares and that their community supports them. Your prayers will help move the mountains in their path and help them stay focused on their journey towards freedom. Many students say that the letters and notes they received gave them hope and encouragement at just the right time.
The first time I received a card from my sponsor was on a day that I was ready to give up and quit the program. Reading that card gave me the encouragement I needed to stay in the program and keep going. Knowing that people were out there praying for me besides just my family gave me the encouragement to press on.
The cost to provide housing, counseling, and other recovery services to a student in our program is over $2,500 each month. Most students could never afford to pay that out of pocket, so our ministry is supported by gifts from friends and family, our vocational training programs, and the generous support of donors like you. For $35 per month, you can sponsor a student and your entire gift will help provide recovery services to your student. By committing just $35 a month, you can help to change the life and future of a Teen Challenge student. To become a student sponsor, simply fill out a sign-up form or give us a call to start supporting a student at your local Adult and Teen Challenge campus today.
Okay, hi guys. My name is Kelsey. I am the development coordinator at the Missoula Women's Campus in Missoula. I know that this video had a lot of detail in it, but I just wanted to get up here and say a couple more things about student sponsorship. We do have our pamphlets with more information. They look like this. They are outside on the table. When you do partner with our women to become a student sponsor, you're not only lifting them up in prayer, but you're also letting them know that they have a support system and people that are rooting them on as you become a partner in their recovery. A lot of the women who come into our program have burned every bridge. They don't have the relationships with their family or their friends that they used to. And so having that support system is absolutely so important to their recovery and making sure that they know that they have the strength to keep on going when things get really tough. Like Cheryl said, it's the most difficult decision you can possibly make to drop everything and come into our program. And so that really means a lot to our ladies. And in addition to that, you can always come to our events. You can write them letters. You can come to their completions, which are amazing. I get to see the women every single day, as do all of our staff members on campus. And seeing women when they come in versus 2 to 3 months later is incredible. And to be able to get to see that every single day is amazing. So if you have any questions about sponsorship, you're interested, or are even interested in volunteering to help out with our events, or just come and volunteer or do a campus tour, please come talk to me after. I'd love to speak with you. So thank you.
If I told you my story, you would hear hope that wouldn't let go. And if I told you my story, you would hear love that never gave up. And if I told you my story, wasn't mine. If I should speak, then let it be of the grace that is greater than all my sin, of when justice was served and where mercy went, of the kindness of Jesus that draws. Yeah.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much for sharing your stories. Thank you for reminding us of the power of the gospel. That the gospel isn't just, oh, Jesus and me and my sins are forgiven and all that stuff. The gospel is Jesus comes into my life and changes it utterly. And we need reminders of that as well. So we're going to take an offering for the ministry of Teen Challenge in a minute. If you can, please participate. If you're going to write a check, feel free to write it to Lowell Community Church, and we will just keep this offering separate and send Teen Challenge a check. If you've already written it and it's written it to Teen Challenge, that's fine. I'm sure we could work with that too. So, but before we do that, some of you guys may not be able to give, and I get that, and I understand that. Here's an alternative for you. Every one of you guys has way too much stuff in your house, because I know, because I have, well, except for maybe Nate and Jana, they don't. They just moved here from Hawaii in suitcases, so maybe not them, but everybody else has way too much stuff in their life. And I know the temptation is just to haul it over to Goodwill, but you know what? Goodwill's just making money on you. Why don't you haul it over to Teen Challenge? Thrift stores just off Broadway on Mullen Road, and you can support this wonderful ministry because they'll take your stuff, they'll resell it to someone else that needs it, and you get to support these guys and what God is doing in their life. So encourage you to do that too. So ushers, if you could come forward, we're just going to pray real quick and take the offering. Heavenly Father, we just we thank you for this opportunity. This opportunity to be reminded of the power of the gospel. The power of the fact that when you come into our life, you make us a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. And so, Lord, as we give to this ministry that is in your transformation business, we thank you so much for the testimonies we've heard. We thank you for the life change that we've seen, that the staff sees every day. And, Lord, we pray that these funds would go to continue to support this life-changing ministry. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And since we're running a little late, why don't we just close in prayer? Is that okay with you guys? Got to make sure the praise team's okay. Of course, I was going to bring up my Bible and I forgot it. So as soon as the ushers are done taking the offering, we will close our time together in a word of prayer. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us here to worship you. Thank you for reminding us during, with song and with testimony of your power and your grace. Thank you for your Son who died on the cross for our sins. Thank you for your good purpose that stands behind that, to reconcile all things to yourself. I thank you that that's your heartbeat, Lord. And I thank you for our very profound reminders of that this morning. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Amen.